Hello and welcome to Aquarium Dilemmas. I'm your host, Science Gal Aquatics. I'm Carrie, and this is my co-host,
Jesse. And welcome. Thank you for tuning in to another wonderful episode.
Yes, I think today is going to be a fun conversation. I don't feel like it's anything that if you've kept fish for a long time or you're kind of more on the intermediate level, I feel like this might be a review for you. But if you're new to fish keeping, I think this is going to be a really fun, interesting list to talk about.
Well, and I think whether you've kept them for a long time or haven't, this is always one that's in the back of your mind anyway of what have been the easiest fish that I've kept and sometimes the most rewarding, honestly.
Yes, sometimes when you hear easy fish, yes, they're generally peaceful, and yes, they're easy to keep, but you can make it super complicated with it, like breeding genetics and doing all kinds of different combinations. So even though they might be easy to keep and they're good for beginners, anybody can keep them, and they're always so fun to keep. The list that we came up with. And yes, it's the fish that we've personally kept that I think were the easiest through the years, but it's still a fun list and we highly recommend them.
Yeah. And the only caveat of it is these are the easiest fish for us.
Yeah.
With our water parameters and the way that we like to do things. So these fish may be harder for you, but for us, we found them wonderful and fun.
Yes, it's hard to put together these lists because there are some, like, I'll put an example, Neon Tetra. Neon Tetra, it seems like are easy to keep, but for me personally, I do have a really difficult time keeping them. But my dad lives in the exact same town and he has no problems keeping them. So yes, this is the fish that I found to be the easiest for me. And I think for most people, they're easy, but there's always exceptions to the rules that you're like, oh my gosh, yes, I would love to keep them, but they just don't fit in my water. So in our fish room, we have harder water. So I think, well, I know these all do well in harder water. So if you have softer water, there might be a different list for you, but I don't fight my water, I guess is the easier way to say that. I don't fight my water at all. So I do tend to keep fish that just I know do well in my water. So I think that is a good thing to say, that just because we find them easy, they might be difficult for you. And what you find easy might be difficult from us. And that goes for plants and fish.
Yes.
And a lot of different things. But I found it fun just kind of thinking back over the years. And I still keep, I think we keep all of these still. Once I found them, I don't think I'll ever not keep them. They're just really enjoyable. And I guess before we get started, the one thing we kind of defined easy is I know when I bring them home, I don't have a lot of worry. I don't have a lot of worry about finding things to eat. I don't have a lot of worry of them having the wrong environment because my tank's not big enough. If I go out of town, they're going to be just fine. If I want to breed them, most of these, I don't have any. Most of them, I don't have any problems breeding, and some of them even came in the mail.
So. Well, I think overall it would be, I would quantify it as general hardiness.
Yeah, hardiness. And I, even in saying that, like our first one, probably if you've been listening and you know us well, our first one's going to be guppies. And we'll just use that as an example. I think that yes, guppies are generally hardy, but making sure you find a reputable, what's the word? I never can pronounce
reputable.
Yes, source or a good breeder. Or if you go to the fish store, make sure that they look healthy. Because even an easy, hardy fish, if it's sick or not doing well in the very beginning, is going to make things way more difficult. So even if it is an easy fish, you don't want to pick one out that's unhealthy to make it harder for you.
Yeah.
So making sure, you know, some places it's easier to see them, feed them, or, you know, you want to make sure that they don't have sunken in bellies. They're kind of more actively swimming. Just, there's some things, and I think we've talked about it in a past episode, if you want to look back, but you just want to start off strong. So the best you can, make sure that you can get the healthiest fish you can, whether that's picking, you know, going online and finding a place online that you have, has a good, so what's the word I'm looking for? That just has a good reputation, or just do your research and you just want to make sure that you start off strong.
Yeah, absolutely. You always want to start off with the healthiest fish you can. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you're already behind the eight ball anyway. Yeah. And then you're going down a rabbit hole of all kinds of other stuff we'll talk about in other episodes, just medicines and just, and trying, cause you don't want to lose the fish. You mm-hmm. bought them, you paid for them. Mm-hmm. You're trying to keep them.
Yes. And even going back to guppies, like I've had, yes, generally speaking, really good overall. I think they will forever be my ultimate favorite fish because I started out with guppies and I will probably leave this earth keeping guppies. I love them. But even saying that, I've had hardier ones than others. So you just want to make sure you start off strong. And just because they're known to be easy fish, and even if it's on this list, you can get a guppy that's sick, that doesn't do as good as the others. So just do what you can to start off strong. But I do recommend guppies as the first one. They're like, all the live bears are a good choice, but for me personally, guppies have, I have far the best luck with guppies.
Well, and now that you're already down the rabbit hole of live mm-hmm. bears, what's another live bear that you think that we've had? I know we've had great success with the Amica splendens that mm-hmm. are a goodiad. They're also a live barrier.
Yes.
But they're a goodiad, I should say. I apologize.
They are easy to keep. It's just with those, they can be aggressive to others. So keeping it like the easiest of easiest on like the top four live barriers that you might be able to go in somewhere and find Amica splendens. We've only found them, I believe, at auctions and like swap meets and things like that. But for easiness to keep, like to get a hold of, you know, the top four, guppies, swordtails are definitely the ones I've had the best luck with. Mollies and platies, like I've had good luck with them. I've bred them. I've kept them inside and outside, and I've kept a couple of different species through the years of them. It's just, I feel like the red wag platy is the one that I've had the best luck with, that's the most widely, you can get it easily. The dwarf fireball platy, that one has done, that out of all the platies I've ever kept, that platy has been, it's just been really easy to keep and breed, and it's done really well. But I haven't been able to find that except for when we went to a fish show, I think it was in Kentucky. So it wasn't the easiest one to get. But when you shop online, things open up to a whole new way. But I feel like guppies, far better than any other ones, have done just overall the best. And swordtails, they've done really well too. They're harder to find here.
Yeah. Well, and platies, if you're going on the fact of mm-hmm. easy to find and the options of colors, mm-hmm. varieties.
And it's endless.
It's endless. It doesn't stop.
Especially if you do count them guppies. Like, but mollies, I would say out of the top four, mollies is the one that's been more of the hit and miss. They've been a little bit more difficult to breed. They've sometimes not been the healthiest in the beginning. Out of those top four, that's the one that's been the hardest. So to rank them, it would be guppies, swordtail, platies, and then mollies. But if you're setting up your first tank or your first community tank or a tank for your kiddo, or however the combination All of it above. Like, I feel like guppies have been a really good fish for me from childhood all the way up to now. And you can have crazy advanced breeding projects to a, you know, just a living room 10-gallon, 20-gallon tank. And you might have the one that's been like the one every once in a while that will be a little nippier, but I don't have any problems with tank. I keep generally more peaceful fish, but I don't have problems with tank mates, with different things. I don't have problems with them not taking food. If I want to breed them, just put them together and they will breed. And I just feel like no matter the age, no matter the expert level, no matter the tank size, they're just, it's a good fish to have, to keep.
Well, I think it's my favorite. I think all those on your list are a good fish. If you're going to do a community tank or you want to combine some things together, put all several ones on your list together, all that will work. And
there's a few exceptions, but I think, there's a couple exceptions on the list, but I think you're right. Like most of these, you could all put together in a community tank too.
So you're just combining all the, I'm not going to say easiest, an easier to keep fish that for us, if you're looking for something colorful and dynamic, that's a little bit different.
Yes. And I just feel like, we get asked this quite a bit, like, what's an easy fish to start off with or what's an easy fish to keep? And again, our definition by easy is there's just not a lot of worry. When I bring them from the fish store or I get them online or I get them from a friend, I don't have to constantly check the temperature. I don't have to make a special diet. I don't have to worry about, you know, I don't really know if these two are going to work together. So let's come down here every 5 seconds to make sure everybody still have finnage. You know, it's just most of these, especially the, like I said, the live bears, the Amacus splendens is an exception. But when talking about the ones I think most people can get a hold of and know would be the guppy swordtail.
Well, the only reason I brought them up, it's a species only tank, but it has been a really easy to care for fish.
Oh, yeah. And the only reason why I say it's not like probably on this list is because you just couldn't typically walk into a fish store around here and find them.
Yes.
But you can find them online really easily.
Yeah. And that's the only reason I brought them up. If you, if you're on the more of an advanced side or medium side and
you don't even have to take like the temperatures.
You're wanting to branch out and go somewhere. In my mind, that's like, for me, the easy fish for me. As a new fish keeper, that is an easier fish.
I feel like
we don't have to do much to it for it. They love our water. They love plants, but you can't put other fish with them really.
I would say it fits the box of it's one of the easiest fish we kept once we broke out of the box and tried to keep different fish that I've just never kept before. Because when we were going to the fish shows and traveling, like we have over the last couple of years, I've been exposed to things that I just can't even put into words because we live in a small town and even our local fish store isn't here anymore. So we didn't have a lot of options, but now we have even less options within driving. Like just, I think our next fish store is like 2 hours away in any direction. And when we go to our club meetings, it's like 2 hours away. So it's just, those are fish that I fell in love with that I wasn't expecting. And I do agree with you. They are far easier to keep than I ever expected. They do like a 55 gallon. It's unheated and any type of tank mates that can be picked on or eat. Like I lost some Corydoras because I didn't know. They're not aggressive to each other and I've bred them quite a bit and they do not bother their fry. But I think that they're just not super easy to get a hold of. And if you're wanting like your first tank to be a community tank or something like that, then I don't think they're the best fit for that.
Oh, but yeah, absolutely.
Coming down here and making sure, okay, I can't get the temperature any, like, it has to be between this and this, and there's not been a food that they have not enjoyed. So it's just, they are easy to keep. They're just probably a little harder to find than a trio of guppies.
Oh, absolutely. 100% there. I'm not disagreeing at all there.
But once we broke out of the box and started keeping new things and being exposed to new things, we did get them. And it was like, well, let's try them. I just wanted to keep more. My goal was just to keep as many different live bears as I possibly could. So that's why I chose them. And they are, they're great fish. They're wonderful. Well, they're beautiful too.
And moving on the easiest. Of what we think is easy, and another one that I really like.
Oh, real quick, we forgot. For the live bears, we have kept them inside, outside, unheated, heated, community, species only. So there's a wide range of parameters, too, for them. So you don't have – it just brings the worry down.
Well, that's –
you don't – there's well, a – that what that's what makes them, I think, easy, too, is just – no worry, less worry, and a wider range of parameters. You don't have to be so specific and spot on.
Well, that's why they made our list. Yeah. Because wide range of parameters, like you said, and there's a lot of different things you can do with them. You can move them around.
Are you proud of me that I thought of that?
You can move them around. There's all kinds of stuff you can do with them.
Yeah, my brain's warming up. I'm doing good.
Well, another one that I know we both enjoy is we do like minnows, and specifically white cloud minnows.
Yes, this is, again, going back kind of a little bit to the neons. I love neon tetra. They are so colorful and eye-catching. But again, I don't have the best luck, even though that they're known as an easier fish to keep, even though my dad doesn't have any trouble. And so I found them as an alternative because they are super eye-catching. I do like the long fin white cloud minnows, but we have the short fin too. We keep them inside and they do fantastic. And we keep them outside year round and they do fantastic. But this was kind of my alternative to keeping neons that I found that they are super easy. We can breed them. And when they're little bitty tiny fry, they are so small you can barely see them, but they are still super cute. And again, wide range of parameters. We can keep them year round. It gets pretty hot and pretty cold. It's a 300 gallon tub outside. And we keep them also in a 20 long planted tank inside that's non-heated with some shrimp, some Neocaridina shrimp. And again, no worry. I don't, very few losses. We can have them from little bitty fry all the way up to adults. And I just don't have any problems keeping them. And they are super colorful. You can keep them with, they're so peaceful. I don't think there's, and you don't want to keep them with anything that can fit in their mouth. They're aggressive. But if you keep them, you know, with guppies or something that's equally as peaceful, you could have a lot of them and it'd be beautiful. It'll be a beautiful tank. And you don't have the worry of, you know, like I said, those super close parameters that you just have to constantly keep an eye on.
Well, and another one, flipping the coin, that everybody sees all the time, you go to any pet store, would be the betta. I mean, that we've had luck with it, with other fish, without fish.
Yeah, it is kind of betta specific. This is one that has like an asterisk by it. Because I would say starting off with fish keeping, this was probably one of the hardest fish for me to keep. And now that I've learned how to keep them properly, I've learned more about their diet, it has switched to one of the easiest fish to keep. But you do have to realize that just because they can live in a small cup on a shelf in a fish store doesn't mean that they should. So I put them in from a flower vase when I was a little kid to at least a 10-gallon, 20. The one that we have currently is in a 30-gallon plant, heavily planted tank. And they do fantastic. We feed them more of an insect larva, like tiny pellet. And like other things too, it's fun to kind of experiment, but more of an insect and not just flake food diet. And we give them filtration. And so that's the reason I would say that it's more, I would say it's an easier fish for me to keep now. But through the years when I was starting off, I would get one and it would die. I would go to the store and it would die. And I wouldn't, it was really, really hard to keep them alive. So now that I know more about them and I took my time to learn about them, I realized that it wasn't that the fish was hardy. It gave it its best shot through all that stuff. But I had to take the time to realize what I was doing wrong and make sure that I set them up in the best environment, and setting them up in a better environment that met what they needed, it single-handedly made them from difficult to keep to easier to keep.
Well, yeah. And another fish that's the same that mm-hmm. a lot of people, they're cheap. People buy them all the time, either as feeder fish or whatever, mm-hmm. would be goldfish.
Yeah.
You can get them super cheap all the way to the super fancy ones. I mean, mm-hmm. you can go from one end of the spectrum with goldfish to the other.
Yeah. Well, and kind of, before we move on to the goal, I do want to kind of again mention with the bettas that it is they're just one that their personality, you can have, again, we've talked about this numerous times, but they can be pouty and happy and active and with it's really specific. So if you do want to put them in a community tank and you have a make sure that you have a big enough place for them to, I like to use heavily planted tanks, but I just keep them. I've kept them with guppies and I've kept them with shrimp, the Neocaridina shrimp. So if you do want to try that, make sure you have one when you're acclimating it. I kind of watch the cup to see if it's, I don't know, you can kind of tell a little bit if it's stressing, if it's flaring a lot. And maybe if it is, that's not one that you should try in a community tank, but put in a species only tank. But just saying that it doesn't, they're, as long as you put them in a tank that's meets their requirements and what they need, they do become a lot easier. I just wanted to, that popped in my brain again. Well. But the goldfish is, it's kind of like you said, and with the betta too, they're one of the ones that when I was a kid I kept, but I kept them all wrong. I kept them heated, overstocked in a too small aquarium, and I managed to keep them for over 15 years before I realized what I was doing wrong. And I realized there is a community on YouTube, and I fell in love with this hobby even more. And I took more time and researched what I was keeping, and I learned to appreciate more what I was keeping. So again, once I put them in the environment that they needed, they started to thrive even more instead of staying itty bitty. The one we have outside in the pond is, I mean, its color's unmatched. It's beautiful and it's huge. But they're ones that I find them just enjoyable to watch swim. They're super peaceful to watch. But you have to make sure that you give them enough room. They're ones that, yes, they're super easy to keep. You don't have to heat their tank. There's not a food a goldfish won't enjoy. But you don't want to keep them in a 20-gallon, they do require, I feel like, a 55-gallon or a 75-gallon or a small pond outside. They just need some room. And I could have kept those, even though they did do well-ish for that long, they could have thrived and grown and been even better if I could have put them in the environment that they needed. I didn't need to put that many in a small tank and heat it. And I, you know, I just only fed it flakes. And it was, there's so many things that I did wrong that even though, like, yes, I said those goldfish did live for me 15 plus years, I could still be enjoying them maybe now if I would have just set them up in the beginning correctly. But they are super enjoyable. They are really easy to keep. You can keep them in an aquarium, a pond. You don't have to heat them. And like I said, there's not a fish a goldfish won't like.
Well, and that just is an attribute to their hardiness.
Yes.
We have kept them inside, outside. We have some inside right now that we were gifted from a friend. Mm-hmm.
It's going outside this summer, probably.
Yeah, just to give them their best life and uh-huh. let them really finish coloring up, getting bigger, growing out, all that wonderful stuff. Mm-hmm. But that is why they made our list, just because they're readily available. They're mm-hmm. super hardy, even if you do make a mistake.
And you shouldn't use them as feeder fish. You should keep them as an enjoyable pet because, I don't know. I mean, you've said it before, just watching them swim. There's something about watching them swim. I enjoy watching the guppies. I enjoy watching all the fish tanks. But there's something about watching a goldfish swim. And kind of, I mean, the kois go into it too, but they're harder just because they need even more room. But they're just so enjoyable and relaxing to just watch swim.
Yes.
They're so peaceful.
No, I agree.
They can be... They're, what's the word, inquisitive? I don't feel like goldfish are aggressive, but they investigate everything with their mouth. So if they're...
They're very curious.
Like, you can keep goldfish with tank mates. I have kept them through the years with an... I can't even tell... All kinds of different things, because like I said, I didn't even... There's so many things I did wrong that I just hope you learn and don't make the same mistake. But... They're just really inquisitive. Like, I haven't had a goldfish tear apart another, I'm trying to think back, fish, or ate another, I don't feel, but they just, if they can kind of nip and, like, what are you? What is this? With their mouth, they will. So, just keep that in mind. But, thinking back, I've never had a goldfish just be aggressive in the sense of just... going after another fish. They're just kind of like pecking on things like, oh, what is that? Because outside we have them with all different various sizes of the rosy reds, and there's no problem there.
No. They're just curious. They yeah. want to see what all's going on, and they're always curious.
They're always hungry.
Yeah, and they're all, well, we've talked about it before. Uh-huh. They don't have stomachs.
Uh-huh. They're just always hungry.
So they're a bottomless pit.
Uh-huh.
Well, moving to uh-huh. something that is not a bottomless pit, uh-huh. but in our favorite, or one of our favorites, because another breed that we love is mm-hmm. Tetras.
Oh my gosh, yes. I haven't kept, there's more Tetra than I can even comprehend and hold in my brain.
Well, I mean, the list is
but
just...
For us personally, the ones that we kept... Because like I said before, I don't have very good luck with the neon tetra. I just don't. But when it comes to the carry tetra, I believe it's more commonly known as the purple emperor tetra. We have really good luck with those. But the one that we probably have even better luck over them, that's even easier, we've got them from... Where were we? I think it might have been Kentucky or some. We were in another state when we found them. But they're the white long-finned tetra. They are so easy. Like I said, we got them out of town, so they made it through a road trip that was probably at least 8 hours. I can't remember exactly, but I feel like it was a pretty long road trip. We brought them home. We put them in... It's a 75-gallon. It's the one we're slowly building for our community tank. And they're in there with angelfish, snails, and corydoras. And they are, again, one that's been unexpectedly easy. Because, like I said, there's some tetra I have harder problems. It's a little harder for me to keep. And others that are super easy to keep. So I wasn't sure where it was going to fall when we brought them home. But they're just really fun to, they've got longer fins for a tetra, and they're just really fun to watch swim. And They don't school, but they're kind of always around each other, and they're Tetras, so they're kind of speedy when they eat. So it's really entertaining to watch, but they're pretty, they actively swim, but they're on the chiller side. So they're not like torpedoes in the water. They just kind of take their time, and they're eye catching from across the room. And I was just really surprised that they are one that is definitely for us on the easier side, that I was just, it was unexpected. Cause like I said, there's a lot of different types of Tetra out there, and there's a lot of ones out there that I would like to keep that are so-called easy that I would like to try. But for us personally, the carry Tetras, the purple emperor Tetras, and the white long fin Tetra we got them, and we haven't had a single problem. The carry Tetra we've had for, I don't even, 3-4 years now.
Yeah, at least.
And we've lost one. So, and they came in the mail. So, and they're one, I mean, it's kind of for obvious reasons. My name's Carrie, but it's spelled a little, no one knows how to spell my name right. And there's a fish that has the same spelling as my name. Of course I was going to get them. So I was hoping they would, but they're another one that we started off when we first got them, they were in a dark water tank. And I mean, their colors, it was kind of hard to see because it was dark water, but you could even tell through the dark water that their colors were, they were appreciating that water. And now we just have them in a dirted planted tank, and the water's not brown anymore from the years of water changes, but they're still equally as colorful. They're very interactive. They don't necessarily school either, but they're always together. So they're just, it's a cool fish and an unexpected, easier Tetra that I've kept and am currently keeping, that I would highly recommend. That if you are one that likes Tetra and you don't really know where to start, those would be ones I would recommend.
Yes, I would definitely recommend them. Whatever they call it, shoaling almost. Mm-hmm. They kind of always stay relatively close mm-hmm. to each other. And mm-hmm. both of those, they don't move like torpedoes.
I would say the carry Tetra are a little faster.
Yes.
But still, they're not, I mean, you can definitely find them and enjoy them.
Yes, you can enjoy them easily.
We have another Tetra that I honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, it's a rare Tetra, and I'd have to go look at the name tag to find out, but they're not the easiest to keep. We still have a good handful, but they're always hidden, and that's the reason that I was like, I know, they're just always behind something. And these, you can enjoy them. They're not hidey. They're not aggressive. And some Tetra, there's a couple out there that I know are a little bit more on the aggressive side. And these are definitely peaceful. They don't go after, the carry Tetra has some Amano shrimp in that tank, and they don't bother the Amano shrimp at all. They're snails. They don't bother the snails. We have some coolie loaches in there, and they don't bother them. So they're just really peaceful, cool fish that you can see them out. They're colorful. They're eye-catching. I think the carry Tetra is, that tank is heated, but the community tank upstairs is not. So you just, like I said before, there's not been a lot of worry with them. Once I watched them when we first got them in, and I was like, dang, I like these fish.
Well, and going into, mm-hmm. since I love plants, uh-huh. and I like planting everything, mm-hmm. if you've listened to anything, you know I am a plant guy, mm-hmm. I will try to convince you that every tank should be planted, mm-hmm. is my favorite that you can get on any color spectrum you want, is Neocaridina shrimp.
Yeah. I don't know why it took us so long to get, but once we entered the Neocaridina shrimp world, there is no looking back, and I cannot get enough of them. I feel like for our water personally, the cherry shrimp, if you want them to breed, they are the ones that breed the easiest and we have the most of. We have some blue ones that took a little bit of time to get started when it came to breeding, but now they're doing really well. And the orange and the yellow, I mean, they're not that close of a, they're not very far behind the cherry shrimp, honestly. I feel like out of all the colors that we've had, the green jades were the ones that we haven't had the best of luck with. But if you're wanting to start off with the cherry or with the shrimp, the Neocaridina shrimp, I definitely would suggest for easiness, if you want to keep them with tank mates or breed them, whatever you want to do, I think the cherry shrimp would definitely be a good one to go with.
Yeah. Well, I think any of them to start with would be to go
yeah,
with.
Yeah, if you can get your hands on them, get them.
Yeah, because you're, I mean, water parameters for all of them are uh-huh. the same, basically. And for us, mm-hmm. it just seems like a different color variety is the our only issue. However, we've had success with multiple colors. So
yeah.
there's no rhyme or reason, good or bad. In general, mm-hmm. if you like shrimp or would like to have a really colorful addition to a tank,
mm-hmm.
this is a very wonderful option, and you can come down and look at them, and they love to run around on your decor, on your live plants.
You'll see them swimming around in the water.
Yeah.
They'll scurrying around.
They'll move around through the mm-hmm. water column, jump from one plant to another. Yeah. Just a very colorful, wonderful, easy addition that also doubles with they like all kinds of food. They like the waste from your fish food. They like the algae off your plants.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just, they're really easy to care for.
They're really good maintenance helpers.
Yeah, maintenance helpers and fun to just enjoy in yeah. general.
Yeah, I just say that cherry shrimp would probably be the easiest just because they were the first ones to breed. But some of them, like in our, I believe it was the yellow one. Yeah, if you're watching this, it's the one right here. Those, I've been able to start new shrimp tanks because every so often they're yellow, but I might get a wild come out or a cherry one that would come out. So it's really easy if you get a good colony and you want to breed them and you can get a colony built up, you can start many different shrimp tanks just from that. Pretty easily, even when I was new and I didn't really know what I was doing, I would see a wild one and I would call it out and put it in my 30-gallon. Or I would see, like with the cherry shrimp, they every once in a while would, I would see, I guess they're called like Bloody Marys or something. They're a little larger and they were so dark red that they looked black, and I would get one every so often. So I would start a new shrimp tank with that. So it's one of those that I highly recommend. I've kept them in heated tanks, like bigger heated tanks, not smaller heated tanks. And I feel like they do better at more room temperature type temperatures for me. But they are, again, one that when we were kind of breaking out of our box of and wanting to try new things, we got them, and I was just, I don't know, I had it so built up in my head that they were going to be so hard and delicate and finicky and not hardy that they, and I didn't have any of those problems, and I wish I would have just kind of jumped into it sooner and not had all of that worry built up in my head, because they have been so enjoyable. They've been big helps. Like I said, you still have to feed them, but they have been unbelievable little helpers and just leaps and bounds easier than I ever expected. And we're going to eventually get in down the line of keeping Caridina shrimp, I'm sure. But for just how easy they've been and how much I've enjoyed just watching them, you can, no joke, lose an embarrassing amount of time in your day just because you get hung up on one little shrimp that's just so freaking cute that you're like, okay, I need to move on and do something. But yes, I find them super easy. They definitely like planted tanks. And the only thing when it comes to tank mates, if a shrimp can fit in a fish's mouth, chances are they will be fish food. So when it comes to tank makes, keep them like guppies, bettas, you know, just things on the smaller side so you don't lose your colony. Because, I mean, if it can fit in a fish's mouth, they're going to probably try.
Well, they're going
to at least be curious about it.
If nothing else, they're going to at least investigate it once.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and another super easy one that is also very, very adorable, mm-hmm. and I also find very wonderful to watch, and as along the same lines, would be a Corydora that yes. fits in that cleanup kind of category.
Little helpers, little sand shifters.
Yeah.
But the one that comes to mind that has been the easiest that, again, I lost because of my own fault. But when I had them, they were so easy to keep. And they were, I don't know, my worry was making sure that they got fed properly. And I did not have any problems feeding them. And that was the panda Corydoras. We've kept a few different variations of Corydoras through the years here and there once we discovered them. And I feel like the panda Corydoras have been super easy to keep. And the only reason why I lost them was because I put them in with the Amica Splendens and they didn't make it. And the Corydora Julii yep. is what we have upstairs. And I cannot wait to... We have two... And I feel like groups of like six do best. But as soon as we come across more, we are going to probably, it'll be a race between the two of us who can get them first. But I highly recommend that if you can get Corydoras, I do feel like out of the ones on this list, the Corydoras just generally run a little bit more expensive. They're probably one of the more expensive ones on the list. But if you can get them and get them in a small group and put them, they like non-sharp substrates. So we like sand. We mix it in with some fluval stratum usually. But they have been super easy to keep. They like algae wafers. I think it was the API bottom feeder pellets. They really enjoy that. And they're just, words can't describe how cute they are scurrying around the bottom of your tank. They're just really cute. And they're just little catfish. And how can you go wrong?
No, there's there's nothing wrong with Corydoras, shrimp. They're both equally fun to watch and easy to maintain.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, I've lost hours of my day because I was like, oh my gosh, these are way cuter than I was expecting. I don't know. But the one thing with the Corydoras, I was really scared with them not taking food. And with the Neocaridina shrimp, I was just had it built up in my head and had a lot of anxiety that they were just going to be super just really delicate. And as soon as they hit the water, I was going to lose them. And I don't find that that's the case at all. The Corydoras, they eat, like I said, the algae wafers, bottom feeding type pellets with no problem out of the ones that we've kept. And going back to the shrimp, like I was going to be like a mass die-off, and I just don't have that. They're just constantly, when you look in the tank, see baby little shrimplets. So if that's the anxiety or the worry that's keeping you from not buying them, you should definitely just go buy them and get them, because they are easy to keep, easy to feed. They go in a lot of different tank sizes, and they like community tanks, species only tanks. I mean, just the parameters and combinations are really quite endless. So,
oh, they are that.
And like
part,
you said, the colors. I mean, come on.
Well, that part. This whole list has been nothing of stuff that for us. The caveat is for us. It's easy to keep our water parameters. You have to keep that in mind. Your water parameters. That's very, very important to keep in mind. We're speaking from our experience and everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why these made our list. There's a few others, but if the fish is not made for your water parameters, obviously it's going to do poorly.
Yeah. Yeah. What's another one that you can think of? Or,
well, there's a couple more. I mean, the Coolie Loach is a good one for us.
That's the one that's the newest on the list that we've kept by far. We have only had them a few weeks, maybe. And again, I've put them off keeping them for a while because I just thought they would be really, like, I don't know. I just thought I would lose them really quick. I don't know how to better describe that. But we've had them. They've been no problem. You do not see them a lot. And I had turned the lights off when I was doing a water change yesterday. And it wasn't on full blast, but it was a little fat. It's a larger tank. It's a 55-gallon. So I had it a little heavier than refilling it than the guppy tank type of thing. And they came out of nowhere and just looked like they were having the time of their life. And I kind of was like, yep, they look good. They're swimming good. They seem to, the few times that I've like seen them, they've kind of been buried around the driftwood and the plants, and I fed them algae wafers and I don't see any algae wafers. So I'm assuming that they're having a good time eating them. So I feel like they're easier to feed than I thought in the beginning. And even though I don't see, you're not going to see them a lot. They have been, even though we haven't had them very long, they've been surprisingly pretty easy to keep. But again, the only time I really see them is if I do a water change with the lights, the aquarium lights off.
Well, and there is some other easy fish that are easy to keep.
Uh-huh.
But you can't expect to see them. Another one would be a clown pleco.
Yeah. I feel like that clown pleco, out of all the plecos I've had, that one was extremely easy to keep. But it was just, the worry I had was I just didn't see it a lot. So I would have to kind of make sure all the lights were turned off on the tank and just lightly scoot things around every few months to be like, okay, are you still there? Like, okay, you're good. But I feel like plecos, the bristle nose pleco and the high finned pleco have been the ones for Plecosomus that have been the easiest for me to keep. But again, saying that, the rubber neck pleco, thinking back on all the ones that, yeah, the rubber lipped pleco has been the one that I just, it seems like I keep it for a couple weeks and I just lose it. So that one, out of like the list of ones, the bristle nose and that high fin pleco, I had for quite a while. But that, the rubber lipped ones, I don't. But the only thing with plecos, I feel like they're all pretty easy. They do a good job at helping you do things. You still have to feed them. The one thing I messed up a lot that caused me to always lose them, that made me feel like they were harder, was I didn't know. I needed to look more into their diet. I was not feeding them properly. I was just using them for algae control, and you cannot do that. So I just felt like they were hard because I was like, I buy them, and they live a year, and then they die. And that made them hard. But again, kind of going back to the betta, once I realized what I was doing wrong and I changed that, we have a common pleco upstairs in the arowana tank that we've had forever. And it seemed like I was just so proud of myself because I would always get common plecos to a certain size and then I would lose them. And again, I wasn't doing what I needed for their diet. Once I figured that out, this one's quite large and I just feel it's not hard to keep. The hardest part of keeping it is making sure the food gets past the arowana and down to the pleco and that you give it enough room and you are giving it the correct diet. Because some plecos need driftwood for digestive reasons, and some don't seem to need it. So depending on which one you want to keep, you've got to look into it. But I feel like for the easy factor, you can't really go wrong with a bristlenose pleco. And that hyphen pleco was real. I had that one for a long time too. And they just weren't difficult at all to keep. It was just, you had to make sure that you weren't just feeding it algae on your glass. You have to feed them.
Well, kind of wrapping this up in one big ball is what are some of the fish you're thinking about coming up that you think are going to be easy to give everybody a little taste of what you're thinking about trying?
Well, if I get my hands on them, I've heard that they're easy. They seem from like talking with my friends, I'm not going to have any problem. They'll fit right into our aquariums quite nicely. And I would have to say, I really want to keep the longfin Danios. They're just, again, I feel like they should be easier to find, but for us personally, they are not. So we'll probably have to go online. And the rasboras, any type of rasboras, I feel like I really want to try to keep them. And I've heard some really good things about them. So hopefully if we make this podcast episode again, they'll make the list and we'll have some fun things to say about them. But those are two that I feel like would be a good fit on this list, but for the sake of us not personally keeping them yet. But if you can find them and you're wanting an easy fish, definitely give those two a shot and let me know how it goes.
Well, yeah. And that is why this is our list. Kind of wrapping it up.
Mm-hmm.
Our list of the things that are easy for us.
We don't worry about.
And we don't, if we see them, we need more of them. Uh-huh. We just get them. We already know that these have made our list. We're like, oh, we need more of these. Boom. Mm-hmm. We don't even, there's no discussion. There's no talk. We just, boom, we get them. We take them home. We acclimate and go. We don't even think twice.
They do good on a road trip. They could do good shipped. They do good if we go on vacation. They make it through my mom overfeeding. They made it through all of my mistakes. Some of these I wish I would have known more when I did, but I'm glad I figured it out. But even saying that, they've been like the goldfish and the betta, from all the mistakes that I've gone through, they did great. They would have done even better if I would have known more about them at the time. But all the things that I did wrong, they were still hardy and they were poor things.
Troopers. Troopers is what they were. Troopers.
And like with the guppies, you can keep them in cold water, heated water. You can feed them all different types of things. We breed them outside in breeding projects and for the tubs. And there's just all different types of tank mates you can try. They're not super expensive. You can find them in every color of the rainbow. You can find them long fin, short fin. You don't have to worry about, you can keep males and females together. Just make sure that you keep more females than males. And if you don't want to keep them species like all males, all females. But if you just are a beginner and you just want to try a great fish, you don't really have to worry about, just get you a good handful of guppies and you're going to have a really enjoyable time with them. If that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
And same with all of these. There's a few of these that you can definitely, if this is your first aquarium and you want a good handful of fish to try and you don't know where to start, you can get some white cloud minnows and some guppies and some corydoras and have a beautiful tank and get
Don't forget about them shrimp.
Well, and yes.
See, the I'm going to throw that in there.
But
because that there's gets all back to my plants.
There's all different types of combinations that you can deal with and you can get, and you don't have to worry about if you have to go out of town, you're not going to break the bank. They're just super hardy. You just have to make sure in the beginning that if you go to the fish store and you're able to pick out the ones you want, just make sure that they look healthy. They look like they're swimming with no, if they look like they're trying hard to swim, chances are they're not going to do well. And even though guppies, yes, are easy fish to keep, they're great for all experience levels. If you get a guppy with ick in the beginning or some kind of worm or some kind of something, it's, even though it's an easy fish, it's not going to do well. It's going to automatically be more difficult. And you're right, going back to what you said, that just because these are our top easiest fish that I don't have any problems with, they might be a little harder to keep for you, just like the neon tetra. I wish that I knew what my dad did to be able to keep his neon tetra so well. And he even keeps them with angelfish. And I just am not able. It seems like once I lose one, I hate to say it, but once I lose that first one within like a week, I'm going to lose all of them. So you might have the best luck and you're like, they're super easy. It just seems like it is specific to us, but I generally speaking, I think that if you are able to get these, chances are you're going to have a really good time, a beautiful tank, and you're not going to have any problems.
Yes. Well, I mean, this is our list. It doesn't have to be your list, but it's something to think about and some variety of some of the stuff that we've talked about. It just might spark you to be like, oh, well, this would work and this will work with my water parameters and I can make this happen. This would be really cool.
Or you got a new shipment at the fish store and you've never been able to try white cloud minnows and maybe you see them for the first time and you're like, oh my gosh, get them and bring them home because you won't regret it.
There you go.
But hopefully you have learned something from this episode. If you would like to share this episode, we'd greatly appreciate it. Share it with a friend and leave us a comment or a review and let us know how we're doing. And if you are watching this podcast over at Science Gal Aquatics under memberships, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And we always invite you, if you haven't, to go ahead and join the membership over there so you can watch it and check out our tanks in the background. But whether you're watching or not, or just listening, thank you. And we can't wait to talk in the next one.
And if you want to see more about the fish that we've kept and some of the ones that we haven't even talked about yet, you can check out sciencegalaquatics.com and there'll be a list of all the fish and a description of the stuff we've kept.
Yes. So thank you again. Can't say it enough. It's better with you here with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.